and his family based off some things that they were going through. And that was in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 12. And he told me, he said, "Do you know what you're going to be preaching to the pastors come the next day, that Monday?" And I said, "Honestly, I don't know yet. I've got all these messages with me and I'm praying." He said, "Well, I never ask anybody what to preach or teach." He said, "So you just obey the Lord if He tells you something. But if you would preach on that subject of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 to our pastors, I think it would be a help to them." And so that night I went home and began to, or back to where we were staying, and began to just pray and study and look over some things. And God gave me a message on this. And so I believe He wants me to preach it to our church this morning as well. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 is the text that we're going to look at, but I'm going to start in verse number 8. So if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Verse number 9, "But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Hold your place right here quickly and go with me to the book of Matthew chapter 5. And I just want to look at two verses. Matthew chapter number 5. And I want to preach on the thought this morning, "Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." I understood when I was over there that there is a misconception in a lot of the religions and a lot of the churches over there that are not King James Independent Baptist churches. And there's several of those, and thank God for them. But even some of those, because of the influence of other religions in the area, there's a misconception that when bad things happen to somebody, they must not be right with God. And that if somebody has wealth or good things happen to them, it must mean that the blessing and hand of God is on them. And that is a misconception they have over there. But you know, we have churches here in America that preach the same thing. They preach this prosperity gospel that if bad things are happening to you, it must mean that you're not right with God and that God's judging you. If good things happen to you, that means that you're doing the right thing. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 44. If you're there, say amen. Matthew chapter 5 verse 44. "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." You know, that goes to tell me that there's going to be people that hate you. If you're serving God and you're living right and trying to do the right thing, there's going to be people that hate you. There's going to be people that will curse you. That's what it says here in this text. There's going to be people that curse you. There's going to be people that hate you. There's going to be people that despitefully use you. If they know that you're a child of God and a Christian, they have this idea that you're supposed to do good unto all men, which is what the Bible says. And sometimes they're going to take advantage of you for doing that. But you know what? If God tells you to do something, you do it and leave it up to God. We've had people come to our church before and they want a handout of sorts, and we're all about helping people. If they're willing to come to church and they're willing to get some help, we'll help them. We've started this bus ministry thing, trying to get it going. We have not brought one person yet, but we're going to keep going, and God will bless it even if nobody shows up. But I have got phone calls. And I've gotten phone calls from us going. I got two yesterday, Brother Nick. And people said, hey, we got your flyer. We're interested in maybe coming to church. But would you pay our power bill? Would you feed us? And I said, I would love to help you. Come to church tomorrow. Oh, I can't come to church tomorrow. I can't get up that early. Okay. Well, then you're not going to eat tomorrow then, I guess. But well, I'm all for trying to help somebody. But there's some that don't want to help us, and there's some that are going to despitefully use you. And the verse also says, there's some that will persecute you. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Look at verse number 45. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Go back over to 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy, chapter number 3. If you're trying to live right for God, there will be those that curse you. There will be those that hate you. There will be those that despitefully use you. There will be those that will persecute you if you're trying to live right for God. And just because somebody's going through something like that does not mean they're not right with God. People get in accidents all the time. Brother Chad and his wife got in a horrible accident over there, and it's by the grace of God that they're alive. Especially her, the way the accident took place. And because of their culture and the religious system of that area, people immediately jump to the conclusion that they must not be right with God, and that those independent Baptists, that's not the right way, because look what happened to their missionary. But see, through what happened, the grace of God is on display majorly, because she shouldn't be alive. And they're witnessing to the police officers and officials that they never got the chance to, because they said, how does she make it through this? God has a plan. And just because somebody has wealth and money and is given things does not mean that they're right with God. Some of the largest churches in our country and even in our state are not Bible believers. You say, well, it looks like they're being blessed with all these things. You want to tell me that the devil doesn't have wealth? The devil can bless whoever he wants to bless. He talked about this music, and most of it is for money. A lot of the music he's talking about, all it is a money-making production. And you know who they're getting to buy it? People that say they're Christians. And that's what's happening there. But the devil's got a way to produce income and give, and people get given. Our church was given to us, and I believe God was in it. This building was given to us. But there's people that get buildings given to them all the time that have nothing to do with God. Are the Bible. You have to be very careful at jumping to judgment when somebody's going through something. Now, I'm going to get to it later on, and there's a lot of things that we go through that God has nothing to do with, but we want to claim we're suffering persecution, and God has nothing to do with it. And I'll get to some of that here in a few minutes. But we find that there's some descriptive words in this chapter that deal with suffering, some ways that we might suffer. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. I got to get back over there myself. I lost my place. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And look at this. We have right off the bat in this chapter, and we could read the whole thing, but I'm not going to. It talks about the last days, perilous times are coming. And I believe we're living in those days of perilous times coming. And if you're going to try to live right and do right, the Bible says right here, it's a guarantee you're going to suffer persecution. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Not maybe, not might, you're going to. Here in America, yes, here in America. It's already starting with corporations and companies that are putting things down on their employees that have nothing to do with their job. But these things are starting and they're going to get worse and worse and worse. The Bible tells us that also in the last days, perilous times shall come. And it gives an illustration of these things in verse number 8 with Jannes and Jambres that withstood Moses. Are we any better than Moses? Moses went through some things. Withstood Moses. So we find that if you're going to live godly for Christ Jesus, there's going to be people that's going to withstand you. They're going to try, and it might even be family that'll try to stand against you. Look what the Bible says that these men did. How did they suffer persecution? The Bible said, so do these also resist the truth. Resist the truth. You know, the word suffer means to feel or bear what is painful, disagreeable or distressing, either to the body or mind. It means to bear what is inconvenient, to be injured, to sustain loss or damage. The Bible said, yea, that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And one of the ways that you'll do that is by those that resist the truth. Some of you are experiencing that right now. If you stand up for truth, there's going to be those that are going to resist it and stand against you. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse the closer we get to going to heaven. What's sad is the people that even live in our own homes or our own families or that are the closest to us are the ones that are resisting truth more than anybody else. Because they don't see it that way or whatever the reason is, but they're resisting and standing against the truth of God's Word. And in the last days, the Bible told us this would happen. And this is one of the ways that we're going to suffer persecution is by those that resist the truth. And it's not a new thing. Oh, I'm just going to be my own person, my own woman, and I'm going to stand my ground. This is who I am. I'm my own person. Moses was dealing with it way before we were ever even thought of. People resisting the truth. We find that they withstood Moses by resisting the truth. Another thing we find is men of corrupt minds. We're living there today, absolutely, living amongst men with corrupt minds. It is sickening, the mind of man today. It's absolutely sickening. And church, these are things that we've already come across and will continue to. Look at there, the last part, reprobate concerning the faith. Just straight up defiant against the truth and the faith. There is a mass exodus among Bible-believing churches of young people going out that are reprobate against the faith. And they're speaking against everybody else that's still trying to hold the old way. Trying to stick to this Bible. The old path is not just an idea. It's a book. It's following God's Word. Reprobate concerning the faith. These are things that we're going to go through. Talking about suffering persecution. Yea, all that live godly. And listen, if you're not living godly, you're going to suffer persecution also, but you're going to do it without God's help. People say, I'm tired of being persecuted. I'm just going to get out of church and get out of my Bible and get away from God. You're still going to have problems. Yeah. Now you're going to do it without God and without the church praying for you. Get out and walk away. But if you're going to live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. Verse number 8 says, resist, corrupt minds, reprobate. These are all things that we're going to face. Verse number 11 persecutions, afflictions. Paul mentions persecutions twice in that verse that he endured. These are things that are going to come against the child of God in the last days. And yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I'm getting somewhere in this message, but I want to just tell you and remind you, church, when bad things happen, it's not the time to tuck the tail and run. It's happened here before. We've had a couple mass exoduses where people left for whatever reason. And there was people that even came to me and said, hey, I feel like we need to leave too. Why do you need to leave? We don't know, but everybody else is leaving. So it must mean that something's not right. And somehow God worked some of that stuff out. You look back later and see that God had His hand in some of that. You can't just jump to conclusion. Verse number 12, he uses the word there again, suffer and persecution. These are all negative words. These are all things that will come against the church in the last days. Paul is warning Timothy about these things. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We got folks in our church right now, they're suffering through some things. Like suffering through some things. And I want to remind you that if you're living godly for Christ Jesus, you shall suffer persecution. Brother Charlie always said, don't ever be involved in anything the devil's not mad at. And he's mad. He's absolutely mad. Look at verse number 13. Look at some of the words used here. Evil men. Just downright evil, wicked men affecting the church. Some of those people Brother Carl listed this morning by name, they're evil men. They're evil men. They're seducers. Right there, look in the verse. Verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax what? Worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. These individuals that he even listed, they're deceived because some of them actually believe what they're teaching and preaching. They're deceived. Being deceived. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are blind, in whom the God of this world hath what? Blinded the minds of them that believe not. They're blind. They're being deceived. These are all things. So why? Why do we have to suffer persecution? Why all that will live godly in Christ Jesus suffer persecution? Why is this, preacher? Look at verse number 17. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God has a plan in all of this. Could God just stop things if He wanted to? He could. We saw Him do it in the Old Testament. But that's not the way He sees fit for the church to have to go through some things. He takes us through things. And we get to the other side. Now we can be a greater testimony for Him. We can give Him the glory and honor. And we can be a testimony to His grace. And be able to help other people. Now Paul was a great missionary. He was a great Christian, a great preacher. Would you agree with me that he was? Is Paul better than any of us? I think he's a better Christian than probably most of us. And he suffered greatly. Suffered greatly. Look, hold your place right here. Look at Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter number 9. There's people that go through things that are unimaginable. And I'm talking about people that are saved, love God, and sometimes you don't understand how they could go through that or why. Some people say, why would God allow that? God's ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. We don't understand all that. It's not our place to understand that. We just trust God. But people go through some things. The Bible said, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you see some of the things they're suffering through, instead of jumping to the conclusion that maybe they're going through it because they're not right with God, maybe you should jump to the conclusion first that they are right with God and this is why they're going through it. And then let them or God prove different. Amen? It's between them and God. If you're going through something, you don't want everybody else talking about how wicked you must be. Job experienced that. He said, you're miserable comforters. We're reading right now in the book of Job. And he said, you're not being helpful. And that's what some people are towards others. But when you're going through it, you don't want people talking about you. You want them praying for you. Acts chapter 9 and verse number 16. Look what the Bible says here. You're there, say amen. This is Paul. When he gets saved, he's Saul, about to be Paul. Verse 16, for I will show him how great things he must, what? Suffer for my name's sake. I wonder this morning if the very moment that you got saved, if God was to show you all the things that you would suffer for His name's sake, if you'd still sign up for what you got saved. I don't know that some would. I don't know. But God said, I'm going to show Paul the great things. Not that he might, but that he must suffer for my name's sake. God needed to get the gospel out. He chose Paul, and he chose persecution and suffering for him to get the gospel out. And a great work was done by the Apostle Paul. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 21. It rains on the just and the unjust alike. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 21. Paul said, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In death oft of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And on top of all those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul was a man that suffered greatly. He was in 3 accidents. They weren't in a vehicle, but they were in a boat. But he was in 3 accidents. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Why did Paul do this? God said, I'll show him the things he must suffer for my name's sake. When we go through suffering, it is for the sake of the gospel and for the name of Jesus Christ. We have to remember that it's for him. Paul, the great missionary, suffered greatly. There's a lot of other verses I could turn to, but I'm not going to for sake of time. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Second Timothy chapter number 3. This is one thing Paul had to say about the persecutions he went through. He's mentioning what happened to Moses. He's telling Timothy some things that happened to him in Antioch, in Iconium, and Lystra, in verse number 11. But look at the very end of it. It said, but out of them all, the Lord what? Delivered me. Not some of them, but every one of them, God delivered him. What is bad and what's sad in our churches and Christianity, our homes, is persecution comes and we tuck tail and run before God can do something about it. God has never failed. He's never let me down. He's never let anybody down. The people that say that He's let them down, because of the hard things they've went through, they left before God could show up and show them what He was trying to do. Any suffering that we go through, if you live godly for Christ Jesus, you're going to go through it. But anything is for God's glory. It's for His name's sake. And it's for the sake of the gospel. And Paul understood that. And that's why when he went through it, he counted it a joy. He counted it a joy to suffer. Why? Because he knew God was doing something. The question's been asked here and the statement's been made. Brother Stephen made it here preaching. I believe a missionary may have made it. But it's when we're going through a trial and a difficult time. The question is not, why am I going through this necessarily? But God, what is your plan? How are you going to get glory out of this? And God, would you give me the strength and help to make sure you get glory out of what I'm going through? All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Paul, the great missionary, suffered greatly. The disciples suffered greatly. I don't have time to go to all the verses. Let's look at a couple. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Hope you brought your Bible this morning to look. You say, this message isn't relevant to me. If it's not, you're not living godly through Christ Jesus. Or two, you're not anything right now, but just wait. It will be. We've got some people in here that love God, and I believe they serve the Lord, and they've been through some things. They can stand up right here and give testimony about some things that they've been through. And they're still sitting here today, and I believe that they would say, to God be the glory. God took care of it. Just like Paul said, He took me through all of it. Those that might get up and say, God failed me, you quit before He got a chance to help you. Those that walked out of church and got mad and got upset during hard times, during difficult times of the church, churches go through hard times. And people, man, when things get hard, some people get gone. And some of them will automatically say, well, God must not be a part of that. You didn't stick around long enough to watch what God was doing. And we've seen God do some great things. The disciples suffered greatly. Acts chapter 5 and verse number 29. What got these disciples in trouble this time? There's a lot of illustrations I could give and a lot of verses about the disciples' suffering. But this one, in verse number 29, that Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. I'm not going to go over this whole story, but you can go back and read it later. But Peter made and the disciples said, we're going to obey God rather than man. They wanted them to stop preaching in Jesus' name. And I'm telling you, if it's not here already, it's tomorrow, it's right around the corner. People are going to say, you better stop preaching in Jesus' name. You better stop preaching this book. And they said, we ought to obey God rather than men. What happened to them? Look with me there towards the end of the chapter. In verse number 40. I'm not gonna go over it for a second time. You gotta go back and read it. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles, and what? Beaten them. They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. Verse 41, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And what did they do? After getting beat for preaching in Jesus' name, verse 42, they cranked it up a notch. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to preach, to teach and preach who? Jesus Christ. They did not put on the brakes, they increased it. And they said, man, what an honor it is. We go through persecutions over here, even the smallest ones. Man, our whole world falls apart. Just everything falls apart around us. We can't function. We can't go to work. We can't do anything. The smallest thing comes. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Paul suffered greatly. The disciples suffered greatly. The apostles suffered greatly. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ suffered greatly. Look at Luke chapter 9. I've got a bunch of verses. I cannot go over all these. Luke chapter number 9. I had a 2.5 hour slot that I preached this in over there in the pastor's school. And I had an interpreter, so that helped take up some time. But I was standing up there for 2.5 hours. All right, Luke chapter 9 and verse number 22. And when I was finished, they were wanting more. We took a break and came back for another hour and a half. Some of y'all are wondering when I'm going to shut up so we can go eat lunch. Luke 9, verse number 22. Saying the Son of Man must what? Suffer many things. And be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. There's verse after verse after verse about our Savior and how He suffered. He's not asking you to do something that He wasn't willing to do. He told His disciples, you're going to suffer many things for My name's sake. In church, Paul's telling Timothy and telling our church, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And again, you might not think this is relevant today, but having traveled over there and seen some things and seeing what the devil's doing, it's coming really soon if it's not already at your house. What are you going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? I pray that as a church we give God all the glory and that through it that He can reign supreme. That He would be high and lifted up. Christ suffered greatly. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. This verse speaks to Christ's suffering. If you want the rest of the verses, just go look up the word suffer in your Bible and go look at all the verses that say suffer. Now, there's a lot of them that say suffer, and that word means to allow. You suffer somebody to do something. That's not the same suffering I'm talking about, but you can tell the difference pretty quickly when you go through there. Like there's a verse that says that you're not supposed to suffer a witch to live. You don't allow her to live. That's not the suffering I'm talking about. But you can know the difference when you look through there. But there's a whole lot the Bible has to say about suffering, suffered, suffering. It's all in there. Christ suffered greatly. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18. Jesus Christ is not going to ask you to do something. God's not going to ask you to do something that His own Son didn't go through. He was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. And that includes the suffering. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. He suffered on the cross of Calvary for you and I for our sins. It's bad enough us having to suffer for our own sins. Jesus Christ suffered for the sins of the whole world on the cross of Calvary. And there's a bunch of verses. The Bible talked about Him being suffering by rejected by His own. Say, well, my family this and my friends this. Jesus Christ went through it. He suffered through those things. Look at James. You're right here, 1 Peter. Go back just a little bit. Go to the book of James. Just go back. The book, James chapter 5 and verse number 9. Paul the apostle suffered. We find out the church is going to go through suffering. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Paul suffered. The disciples suffered. The apostles suffered. Christ suffered. The Old Testament prophets suffered. James chapter 5 and verse number 9. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of what? Suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. The Old Testament prophets suffered. Abraham, Moses, Joshua, King David. I could list prophet after preacher after follower of God in the Old Testament. They all suffered. Why? Because the Bible's true. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You say, well, I don't want to go through any suffering. Well, keep doing what you're doing. But you're going to go through hard times and difficult times because there's a lot of suffering that we bring upon ourselves. But I'm talking about the kind of suffering that's because you're living godly in Christ Jesus. He says, this isn't a very encouraging message this morning. Well, I'm just telling you these things are coming. And some, they've already come to your house. They've already come. And you made it through it and God got the glory. It's for the gospel's sake. It's for His name's sake. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Look at Philippians chapter 1. I know we're turning to a lot of verses. I want you to see these things. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 29. Look what the verse says, church. This is written to the church of Philippi. It's written to us. Philippians 1:29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of who? Christ. Not only to believe on Him, but also to what? Suffer for His sake. And Paul said, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now hear to be in me. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Church, we're not only supposed to believe on Christ, but we're supposed to suffer for Him. We're going to. Doesn't mean self-inflicted, but you're going to suffer for Him. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm almost finished. Just a few more verses. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Those disciples and prophets and Paul, they all were just beside themselves that they were counted worthy to suffer for Christ. They thought it was an honor. I get over with these missionaries and see the things that they've laid aside to go to the mission field, and they're counted worthy to be able to do that for God. A missionary that we support, I'm not going to mention his name or where he's going. I'll tell you after church if you want to know. But he's going to a field that we can't talk about it online. And he was asked to give a testimony about the sacrifice that he was making to go to the mission field he was going to, a very dangerous place. And he began to weep. And he said, it is not a sacrifice. He said, it's our reasonable service. We present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. He said, Jesus gave it all on the cross of Calvary. And He's asked me to take my family and go to a foreign field where people hate God and hate my Bible and hate me as a Christian and go try to win them to the Lord. He goes, it's not a sacrifice. He said, it's just my reasonable service. Whatever God asks us to do, whatever we suffer, it is not a sacrifice. It's just our reasonable service. Some people suffer more than others. Why is that? I don't know. Maybe God knew they can handle it better than others. But guess what? Their relationship with God is going to be way more than you'll ever experience. They'll know more about His peace and joy. They'll know more about a relationship with Him than those that are not willing to suffer for His namesake. They have a closeness to God that can't be explained. They got a peace that passeth all understanding. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 26. I've just got a couple more things about suffering and I'll be finished. 1 Corinthians 12, 26. Those that suffer by living godly in Christ Jesus, we as Christians, especially in the same church and same house, we ought to suffer with them. Not talk about them, not run them down, not post about them. We ought to suffer with them. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 26, this is talking about the body. The church, the local body, being a body. Everybody's got their place. Everybody's got their part in the body. Verse number 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members, what? Suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. If one part of our body is suffering and hurting physically, the rest of our body is affected by it and suffers right along with it. If one part of our body feels some kind of joy, the rest of the body rejoices with it. Amen? Some of y'all, when you go eat this afternoon, might have that feeling. The local church is the same way. If one of our brothers and sisters is suffering, they don't need anybody talking about why they're suffering. They don't need them coming up with all the reasons why they're suffering. They don't need to talk about how they had it coming. They need to suffer with them. Let me spend some time praying for them. Let me even give up a meal and pray for them. Suffering with them. When they suffer. And when they rejoice, we'll rejoice with them. Not be jealous over why they're rejoicing. We suffer with them. First Peter chapter number 2. Is everybody okay? Are you suffering through this? First Peter chapter number 2. Peter has a whole lot to say about suffering. And he kind of gives some rules when it comes to suffering. And the gist of it is, we're going to read all these verses, but the gist is, when you suffer, make sure you're doing it for the right reason. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I have one example of this. I've given it preaching here before. I gave it when I was in Papua New Guinea. And that was street preaching. Out on the street preaching. And nothing wrong with that. Good street preaching, passing out tracts. We're standing on the corner preaching. And this is an illustration I heard give. I wasn't actually there. But the preachers were preaching. And the owner of a business came out and said, "I don't mind you street preaching and giving out tracts. I kind of like hearing it. But can you please move away from my front door and just scoot over a little bit?" Well, some of the preachers that were there had some wisdom. And they said, "Yeah, we'll move over. No problem. Thanks for letting us do this right here in front of your business." One guy said, "No, bless God." And he kept preaching in front of that man's business, so the guy called the police. And as they're arresting this idiot, Brother Stephen, as they're arresting this guy and hauling him off, he's talking about being persecuted for preaching the gospel. No, you were persecuted because you were an idiot. And there's things that we go through in our life and we say we're suffering for Jesus. Well, you're not doing anything for Jesus. You're suffering because you made some bad financial decisions. You're suffering because you didn't raise your children like you were supposed to biblically. You're suffering because you made some bad decisions with your marriage. Well, I'm a Christian and my wife left me and I'm suffering. Well, no, you're suffering probably because you are a horrible husband. Just because you're saved and go to church doesn't mean everything you go through means you're suffering for Jesus. If you're going to suffer, make sure you're doing it for the right reason. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 19. "For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully." Now this suffering wrongfully he's talking about is when you're done wrong. You're suffering because you were done wrong. If you do it because you're serving God and doing right, to God be the glory. It's thankworthy. That's what it says in verse 19. Verse 20, "For what glory is it if when we be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us a what? An example that ye should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Look at chapter 3, the next chapter over, verse number 14. "But and if," the Bible said, "Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." So it's coming. "But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake," what does the Bible say? "Happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." Be like Paul. "God's going to take me through every bit of it." Don't run when things get hard, when you're trying to live right for God. And I'm telling you, they're going to get hard. I'm not downplaying the hard. I'm not downplaying the suffering. There's some people that have gone through some things suffering for God that I don't know how I would handle that. I'm not trying to say we're some spiritual giant that you're just going to make it through all suffering. Some of you have gone through things with your children and your home and past marriages, different things that I'll never understand. But by the grace of God that you're sitting here today, and thank God for it. If you suffer for righteousness, happy are you. But don't be afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. He's telling us how to handle the suffering. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Can you give an answer when you're going through suffering? Our answer ought to be, to God be the glory. Sometimes we don't know why, we don't know how long, but we're praying that God gets all the glory. For His name's sake, for the gospel's sake. Verse 16, having a good conscience. Whereas they speak what? Evil of you. What's the context? Suffering. The terror. Don't be afraid of their terror. Don't be afraid of being troubled. They're going to speak lies about you. When you're going through suffering, people are going to make up all kinds of lies about you. When you live godly for Christ Jesus, they're going to every great man of God and woman of God down through the ages in my lifetime and all the way back through the Bible, men and women that try to do right for God had lies told about them. Every one of them. Wonder where that came from. Who is the father of lies? Who is the accuser of the brethren? The devil. And if you, as a child of God, decide to help spread those, you're helping the devil. You're like his accuser of the brethren assistant. And I don't want to be guilty of that. Even you say, I know it to be fact. Okay, give it to God. Amen? Because once you say something, now you're accountable. You're guilty just like they are. Having a good conscience, verse 16, whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, that they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Well, Carl talked about that conversation is not just your words, it's your life. And you're suffering, you're going through hard times, you stay faithful to God, give Him the glory, and those people that are running their mouth about you, when you come through the other end, they should be ashamed for what they said about you and about your God. Verse number 17. Everybody seeing this? I'm almost done. For it is better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well-doing than for what? Evil-doing. If you're going to suffer, make sure you're doing it for the right reasons. Make sure it's because you're trying to please Christ and not yourself. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Peter says a lot about this. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. You're not just going to suffer spiritually, you'll suffer through some things in the flesh. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. There's not time to preach all this. Look at verse number 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. When some people go through suffering and they're trying to live right for God, they think it's the strangest thing that's happening. He said, don't think that strange. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Verse 13, but rejoice. Rejoice in so much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. Verse 15, but let none of you suffer as an idiot. No, as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer. Oh, look at this one. It's listed with murderers. Or as a busybody in other men's matters. Welcome to Facebook 2023. You are lumped in with murderers in the Scriptures. And thieves and evildoers. Oh, I'm suffering for Jesus. Because you're a busybody? Because you're getting involved in something that you have no business getting involved in? Getting involved in other people's business and they told you to keep your nose out? Amen. There's my cue. Verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a what? As a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. If you're going to suffer as a Christian, don't hang your head. Don't be ashamed. Keep your head up high, and to God be the glory. That's what He's saying right here. Don't be ashamed if you suffer. If you're suffering as an idiot, you need to be ashamed. But if you're suffering for Christ, if you're suffering because you're a child of God, if you're suffering because you're a Christian, don't be ashamed, but let Him glorify God. Give Him the glory. And if you suffer according to the will of God, let Him take care of you. That's what this is saying. Very last verse, 2 Timothy chapter 2. I don't know who may have needed this message this morning. I know when I studied it and preached it there, God helped me. And I want to help our church. 2 Timothy chapter 2 in verse number 7. If and when you suffer, because yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, make sure you're doing it for the right reason. Give God the glory. This is the summarization of the message. Give God the glory for it. Let Him help you. Paul said he, through all of his persecutions, all of his suffering, he said, all of it, God brought me through it. And He'll do the same for you. But on top of all that, I mean, it's enough that God said, I'll take you through it and I'll help you with it. Do it for me. I'll take you through it. But on top of all that, if you suffer for Him on this earth, you'll have an opportunity to reign with Him. I mean, what you're going to suffer if you live godly. You might as well do it the right way and give God the glory, and He'll give you an opportunity to reign with Him. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Wherein I, what? Suffer trouble. As an evildoer, even unto bonds. Paul is in prison. He goes to prison for the gospel's sake. None of us are in prison this morning for preaching the gospel. That day could come. But we're not there now. Paul was. But the word of God, verse number 9, is not bound. You're not going to lock up the Bible. Verse number 10, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul suffered persecution. God said, I'm going to show him what great things he'll suffer for my name's sake. He suffered for the sake of the gospel and for the name of Christ. And we see that every time he suffered. Verse number 11, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Verse number 12, if we, what? Suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. That is not talking about your soul salvation. That is talking about when you suffer and go through suffering. If you choose to deny Christ, then you're going to be denied a reward. You're going to be denied a reign. Reigning with him, you'll be denied that inheritance if you deny him when you go through suffering. Peter was one that denied Christ when things got hard. when there was suffering going on. Now, thankfully, he got a chance to get it right. And if you're here this morning and you've gone through some suffering and you've not been giving God glory for it, maybe it's a time for you, like Peter, where you decide to get the thing right with God. There may be things you're going through that I don't know about. Only God does. But God knows your heart in the matter. Verse number 13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. So the question this morning is, how will you respond, or how are you responding to suffering? Amen. All right, I'm not going to give an invitation. We'll dismiss in prayer. I thank the church for praying for us while we've been gone. Let's all stand. If God spoke to your heart this morning on this idea of suffering, would you do something with it, with Him? Talk to Him about it. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for loving us. God, we thank You for being so good to us. And Father, we see over and over again in Scripture how many, many people that served You, all that served You and lived godly, suffered persecution. And Father, I know things are going to start getting really, really difficult in our country, Lord, and maybe in our homes and our churches. Father, they already are for some. God, they're already having to deal with things at their workplace and in their family just for standing up and doing right. And God, I thank You for those. And Lord, I pray You bless them. I pray that You work in their heart and their lives to give You all the glory and the praise. Father, we're looking to see what You'll do. Thank You so much for being good to us, Lord. Thank You for our church. Thank You for blessing us, God, while we were gone and blessing the church. I pray, Father, that You would help us, Lord, as we go our separate ways. If there's anybody here today, God, that's not saved, they don't know You as their personal Savior, Father, I pray that today, before it's too late, they would get that settled with You. Father, it's not possible for us to suffer for You if we're not born again and not saved. And Lord, living a life saved and having to suffer some things is way better than being lost and on my way to hell. So Father, today, if there's anybody that's lost, Lord, I pray they come see us before they leave. And Father, thank You so much for being good to us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.